Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He's either part of it or he's not. If he's part of it, then we've had a series of witnesses that have misled this committee. And if he's not part of it, then he's got no business asserting executive privilege.
It seems clear that you had no interest in resolving this issue and that the committee planned to go forward with contempt before we walked into the meeting with the Attorney General. It pains me to say this, but this is what I believe.
So we heard Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy and Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings. The investigation into the botched Fast and Furious gun running case has been simmering in Congress's House Oversight and Government Reform Committee for almost a year. But yesterday it exploded into public view when Attorney General Holder asked President Obama to grant executive privilege in an effort to withhold some documents. Obama did. And in turn, the Republican-led committee has voted to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt. Sometimes legalese is confusing, and sometimes it describes exactly what's going on. And in this case, contempt is the best word possible to describe relations between the Republican Congress and the White House right now. Let's talk about it with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Hiya, Todd.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. And let's start with the vote yesterday by the Government Oversight Panel to hold Holder in contempt. I've read this referred to as criminal contempt. Is Eric Holder being charged with a crime? Could he go to jail?
Not yet. That's not really how contempt from Congress works. A couple of more stages would have to happen before it could even be contemplated that he would. Also, the idea of a cabinet official going to jail because of a dispute over documents with Congress, in line with official duties and legal disputes, is almost unthinkable. I'm not a lawyer to tell you it's impossible, but I'm a reporter to tell you it's pretty much unthinkable. The committee vote yesterday is a recommendation to the whole House to find Eric Holder in contempt on a pretty narrow, for failing to comply with a pretty narrow subpoena that was documents related to Fast and Furious only from February through December of last year. That subpoena was much broader before, Brian, but the House leadership asked Daryl Issa to scale it back because they didn't want to be perceived as going on a broad fishing expedition, and also some of the documents that they were requesting the Justice Department had said would have interfered with ongoing investigations, active prosecutions, wiretaps, sources and methods, stuff like that. So they narrowed it. Nevertheless, a vote of contempt yesterday, the House leadership, John Boehner and Eric Cantor, say this will go to the House floor next week for a full House vote if nothing changes, i.e., if the Obama administration doesn't hand over the documents pursuant to that subpoena I just mentioned. If the House should vote Eric Holder in contempt, which would be unprecedented. There has never been a cabinet official held in contempt by the United States Congress. It's come close. Janet Reno had a citation go to the floor, but Newt Gingrich never put it up for a vote. There have been others that have never been put up for a vote. If that were to happen, the citation would then be referred to the U.S. attorney here in the District of Columbia, who would then be instructed to bring it to a grand jury and do legal proceedings that way. So Congress has no power to charge anyone with a crime. They have no power to put Eric Holder in jail. These things are usually negotiated politically, but failing that, this would be sort of the court scenario that you were talking about.
That's really good context. There's a lot of that I didn't know. And in a polarized election year such as we are in, I guess anything is possible. What is your best understanding, Todd, of what is in these documents? I mean, you know, there are people listening right now who are outraged at the Republicans for demanding these documents, who are probably very pro WikiLeaks because they don't think things should be secret in government all that much. What is in these documents, and why is the president and the attorney general so keen on withholding them?
I think that is the very question that Republicans would like to know. If they knew what was in the documents, they'd have the documents. They wouldn't be subpoenaing the documents and demanding the documents, politics aside, of course. What we think is in the documents are back and forth between high levels of the Justice Department trying to clean up the mess that Fast and Furious became after a border agent named Brian Terry was killed with guns that the ATF was watching flow back and forth from the U.S. border to Mexican drug cartels. Bad guys, members of those cartels, wound up in a firefight with border agents. Terry was killed with a gun that the U.S. government was essentially following to try to mount a sting operation. It really is the fact that this border agent was killed that has made this an issue, primarily an issue on the right, but an issue. So what we think is in those documents is back and forth, how, you know, asking, hopefully answering the question, how far up in the Justice Department did knowledge of this program go, and then trying to clean it up afterward. And that's important to Republicans in particular, but it is important because Eric Holder and other Justice Department officials have gone before the Congress saying, we didn't know. Basically, they were conducting Fast and Furious out in the Southwest. We didn't know about it. We didn't know the extent of the gun walking. We didn't know how many guns were in the hands of the cartels. They just weren't telling us about it. They wrote to Congress to that end, Brian, and then had to retract a letter back in February, which they basically acknowledged was false, that assertions by Justice Department officials about Fast and Furious, about how much the upper echelons really knew about it, were not accurate. Now, they say that was inadvertent. We weren't trying to mislead anybody. But Republicans smell a rat. And with the assertion of executive privilege yesterday, to them, that rat smell gets a little stronger. Why? Because the President of the United States has said repeatedly that he knew nothing about Fast and Furious. It was a program that was started under the Bush administration, continued under the Obama administration. The president told interviewers from the Univision Network last year, I didn't know anything about this. Nobody's ever asked me about it. So then Republicans say, well, why? You heard Trey Gowdy alluding to it there, the congressman from South Carolina yesterday. Why is the president asserting executive privilege over documents of something that he purports to not have any knowledge of? And then you get into the legalese of when a president can assert executive privilege. Does it have to be his own decision-making conversations, documents he's personally had with an aide, or can it be broader within the administration? He doesn't necessarily have had to have been personally in on the conversation. And they're going to start to fight over that, and that's going to be a political fight and a legal fight as well. But that's sort of that's the size of the rat that Republicans smell here.
And listeners, if you're interested in seeing some of these documents, we posted some on our show page, the letter to Chuck Grassley's office that they then had to retract, the letter Eric Holder wrote to the Obama administration asking for executive privilege, the letter holding Eric Holder in contempt, and some other things. Everyone in Washington is fighting over access to documents. We've posted as many as are public at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to dig into this. And Todd, I have to say, I still don't get it. That was a great explanation. But in terms of what the executive privilege claim would be protecting, other than the identity of someone or some people in the Justice Department, or maybe the White House, but I figure probably the Justice Department, who screwed up on claiming lack of knowledge of Fast and Furious, or maybe lied about lack of knowledge of Fast and Furious, covering up their identities because they don't want to get them into trouble. Is there any other explanation for executive privilege that you could think of?
Those are all good explanations. They're all possible, and there are others as well. The explanation that you just gave, Brian, is the one that John Boehner is taking. Right after the Obama administration asserted executive privilege yesterday, which, by the way, was the very first such assertion from this administration. There have been 40 since JFK, but this is the first one Obama has ever done. The Speaker's office issued a statement, and I'm paraphrasing, saying this executive privilege claim implies that either the White House is lying about not having known about Fast and Furious, or they're now participating in a cover-up. It's one of the two.
What's the alternative explanation that's friendlier to the administration?
Politics and separation of powers is the friendlier explanation. Executive branch administrations and Congresses get into these fights fairly regularly, often to protect people, politics, things you don't want to get out, of course, but also on principle. We're not going to give in to somebody like, oh, Daryl Issa or John Boehner, who we feel is bullying us. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be seen to kowtow to a story that has primarily been fueled by the conservative base of the Republicans. We're not going to be seen to be pushed around by them. And there's another aspect of this that's really interesting just in terms of the politics and not, you know, getting off of the actual substance of the documents or what the Obama administration may be trying to hide, if anything. When executive privilege is asserted like this, Brian, here's one really interesting thing that happens. And I think the Democrats and I think the White House knows this. The argument largely, and this will be a matter of negotiation between the parties. These things rarely go to court. They do once in a while, but they rarely do. It will become, instead of an argument about corruption, what did Holder know and when did he know it? What did the president know and when did he know it? Which is what the story is now. It moves from a debate about corruption to a debate about sort of legal constitutional arcana. There they go again. There the executive branch is clashing with the legislative. Classic separation of powers, constitutional debate. People kind of glaze over, except the constitutional experts over at Georgetown University and those of us who follow this stuff. And if you're in the White House or if you're a Democrat, maybe you would like to have people think this is just sort of a philosophical kind of governing constitutional clash, mm-hmm. rather than a conversation about corruption. And you can see the reason why John Boehner's office was so quick. They know this. Yeah. They were so quick yesterday to respond to the executive privilege, say, no. This isn't about separation of powers or some constitutional 30,000-foot question. Mm-hmm. This is about corruption. Right. Either the president's lying or he's covering something up. It's one of the two.
I know you got to go in a couple of minutes, Todd. I want to get in a couple of clips real quick. This is the president talking about the Fast and Furious operation. It's a very short clip from March 2001. No, is it from 2011, sorry, with Univision, and it begins with a question from the anchor, Jorge Ramos.
You were not even informed about it?
Absolutely not. This is a pretty big government, the United States government. I've got a lot of moving parts.
So there is an on-the-record from last year precise denial, explicit denial,
yeah,
that he was informed about it. Here is Obama from 2007, before he was elected, talking with Larry King about the Bush administration use of executive privilege.
There's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this.
And Bush did once invoke executive privilege four times in a month, I believe. And this, as you point out, is Obama's first. So what happens next? Does this go away in some way? Does it just fester as part of the election campaign?
Well, it doesn't quite go away because House Republican leaders have said if something doesn't change, the House is going to vote on this next week. They will, and presumably they would vote to find Eric Holder in contempt. That'll get more headlines. That'll certainly be news. Now, if we don't get one today, there's going to be a big health care decision next week, so we'll see how much attention that would get, you know, in light of the Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act, which is a huge deal. And then, you know, Eric Holder is not found in contempt right away. He's not thrown in jail, as you suggested before. This assertion of executive privilege would probably go to a court and would have to be argued and adjudicated and eventually be the topic of a negotiation between the administration and Republican officials in Congress. The chances of that being resolved before the election, slim. I mean, I don't know, but it seems pretty unlikely. Another advantage from the White House's perspective here might be just that you can sort of gum this up legally and not only change the narrative a little bit about what this is, but also extend the timeline out a little bit. And that clip that you played from the president really quick, the interesting part about that is when he said, no, I didn't know about it, I've had a lot of moving parts. That's the part about the executive privilege that has Republicans going nuts right now. How could he exert executive privilege if he didn't know about it? Mm-hmm. Michael Mukasey in the Bush administration, Brian, went before the Congress when Bush was president and asserted directly when he was attorney general that they can assert executive privilege for things broader in the administration. It doesn't have to be in the Oval Office, in the White House per se. So there's precedent for that, too. They're going to argue over that and try to glaze everybody over.
Obama saying, thank you, George W. Bush, for that precedent, at least at this moment. All right, Todd, you got to go. You know, it's really hot in New York today. But I know Washington is even hotter. So in Washington, D.C. today, Todd, how hot is it?
In Washington, D.C., Brian, it's so hot that Eric Holder is playing basketball with Daryl Issa just to cool off.
Oh, Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. Thank you very much. You can go be the referee.
Hey, my pleasure.
And listeners, on Twitter, we're collecting your answers to the question, how hot is it? Use the hashtag, it's so hot that. John Podoritz, the New York Post columnist, replied, it's so hot, Jeanette Sada Khan is riding an air-conditioned bicycle. And some other ones are coming in. So go on Twitter and use the hashtag It's So Hot That and the handle at Brian Lehrer, and we'll read some of your responses on the air as we go along today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Is compromise possible? We'll try to answer that question next.